I've titled tonight's teaching, Putting Down Roots. Putting Down Roots. We're going to take a look at what the Word of God has to say about roots in the Bible. And we're going to look at first in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm 1:1. Familiar section of scripture for a lot of us, but it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Okay, so note the contrast here. The blessed man versus the ungodly man. The blessed man is rooted. He delights in God's word. He's going to be like a tree that's planted. And a planted tree has roots. A root is a foundation, ultimately, of anything. Right? It's the stabilizing element to whatever that object is the root. It's an image used throughout the Bible to represent the core from which anything from plants and trees to houses and structures, the people and families get their strength and their steadfastness. Okay? So it's used in all that different kinds of imagery, but ultimately it's the core from which those things get their strength and get their steadfastness. Right? And in verse 3 it says that we're to be planted by the rivers of water. To be planted is to have roots. And it talks about how it's going to bring forth fruit, and his leaf also shall not wither. The leaf is the opposite end, okay? So if the root is, you know, the foundation for the tree, the leaf is the fruit, it's the product, it's the manifestation of the quality of the root, right? As the root goes up through the trunk, goes through the limbs, goes through the branches, goes through the twigs, and ultimately it goes to the leaves and to the fruit. So the quality of those leaves, of that fruit, is dependent upon the quality of the root underneath. Verse 4, it says, "The ungodly are not so." They're not planted like that. "But are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Right? The ungodly are not equipped to handle harshness. Right? Their way perishes while the righteous way prospers. Okay? And that's the contrast that God is trying to lay out for his people. That the wicked, their way perishes, and the righteous will prosper. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. In Proverbs 12, 3, it starts, "A man shall not be established." And the word established there is the words to make firm or solid. Okay? A man shall not be made firm. He shall not be made solid by wickedness. That's not what makes a person firm or solid. "But the root of the righteous shall not be moved." So, again, another comparison here by God. Wickedness is not what makes people unmovable, sure, or firm. The righteous root is the one that will not be moved. And then verse 12 says, The wicked desires the net of evil men. And the word desires there is to seek out, right? And the word net is a snare. So the wicked seek out the snare of evil. That's where they ultimately end up. That's where they ultimately end up, is trapped. But the root of the righteous yields fruit, right? The root of the righteous isn't a trap. It's freedom, and it's freedom that yields fruit, right? So we want our root to be one of righteousness. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, 14. Another familiar section of the word. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. And this is where Jesus Christ is explaining to his disciples what that parable means. And Mark 14, or 4, verse 14 says, "The sower sows the word." That's what the analogy is for. He's sowing the word. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no what? Root." Root. They have no root in themselves. "And so they endure for a time." For a little bit. There's no foundation there, so they can stand up for a little bit. But what happens? "Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake," so basically, they'll stand on it for a little bit, but if they start to get made fun of, or they start to get attacked for what they believe in, or they start to feel foolish because the world is laughing at them, then they immediately are offended. Immediately they are offended, and they give up on it. And that's because it has no root in them, right? There's no foundation. It's like when our kids build a tower, right? It stands there for just a little bit, but there's no foundation. So in a matter of seconds, somebody's knocking it down, and it doesn't stand any longer. Verse 18. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but or except that it should come abroad." Okay? So verse 19, it talks about how the cares of the world and those things choke out the word of God. But ultimately, there are some who will hear and some who will believe. And the important thing to remember is that there's nothing wrong with the word, the seed. Not the word's fault. It's not the seed's fault. And there's nothing wrong with the sower either. You know, the one who speaks it. There's nothing wrong with them either. Those people who get choked out, those people who it doesn't take root in, it's not because the seed was bad. It's not because the sower was bad. Every individual has the freedom to decide for themselves to put down roots and bring forth fruit, like it talks about in verse 20. That's up to the individual, right? It said that Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. All we can do is hold forth the word. All we can do is put it out there. And it's everyone's individual decision on whether or not they put down roots. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24. Right? And the God makes it very clear in his word that there are two paths. Right? That's what we saw in Psalms and Proverbs. It's up to the individual. You can put down roots of righteousness or ungodly roots. One of them endures and one of them is like the chaff. And God talks in his word, as we're going to see here, that roots aren't permanent. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 24, it says, "Even all nations shall say, wherefore or why has the Lord done thus to this land?" How come God did this to you guys? "What meaneth the heat of this great anger?" What did you guys do to screw up so bad? Why is he so angry with you? "Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them," gods who they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day." Okay? And so verse 28, when it says the Lord rooted them out of their land, it's to be uprooted. It's to be uprooted. They turned away from God, and that had an effect, right? We know that God did not uproot them personally. We know that because they turned away from God, the adversary was able to do stuff to them. But that's the consequence, right? It's just because you have roots does not mean that you can't be uprooted, right? Turning away from God and his word is one of the ways to get uprooted. Go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 talks about something similar. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil." That's like the opposite, right? They call good things evil, they call evil things good. "That put darkness for light, and light for darkness," more opposites. "That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." So, these are people who are deceivers, okay? That's what the verse is talking about. People who do not dwell in truth. Right? What they say is the opposite of what they mean. Verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Right? People who think that they know best, that they know better than God. Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink." And those people, verse 23, "justify the wicked for reward. They promote the wicked, and they take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Right? They're out to corrupt the righteous. So we have three kinds of people. The deceivers who don't dwell in truth, the people who think they know better than God, and the type that promote the wicked and try to steal or corrupt from the righteous. Right? Those are the three types. "Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff." So when you have a fire that devours stubble, or you have a flame that consumes chaff, there's nothing left. It's all gone. That's what it is to be devoured or to be consumed. So in that same way, "so their root shall be as rottenness." Ugh, a crummy, rotten root. "And their blossom," okay, so again, remember we talked about the leaf that came from the tree that's planted by the water. It's nice and it's flourishing, it's beautiful. this rotten root, its blossom goes out as dust. It can't even produce a nice, pretty flower. Just kind of a nice little dry, poofy, polleny mess. Right? Their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Right? And that's why. That's why. The root isn't a righteous one. Right? They despised God. They despised his word. And therefore their root is a rotten one that blossoms into dust, into nothingness. And it's because they rejected God. So God makes it clear throughout his word that there is a choice. We can be rooted and grounded in his word and in truth and flourish because of it. Or people can make the decision to reject God. And there's consequences to that. Go to Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Matthew 15, 13 says that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Right? If it's not based on God and his word, that foundation's not going to hold. Right? Roots don't mean you're stuck. You can get uprooted. And every tree that doesn't come from God, everything that's not because of God, ultimately will be rooted up. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and makes flesh his arm or his strength, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath, the shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. So, again, we have an illustration of a person who thinks that they have their own strength, whose heart is far from God, thinks they can do it on their own, rejects God, and they're going to be like this tiny little shrubby plant in the desert with no leaves and just dried out and salty and gross. And on the contrary, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusts in God, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. So you remember that the little shrubby bush, even when some good stuff does come, maybe a little passing rain in the desert, it doesn't do anything. He can't even see the goodness of it. It has no effect. But on the contrary, this person, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, when the heat comes, when the trouble comes, it says, her leaf shall be green. So they won't even see when the bad stuff comes. They'll still have joy and rejoicing and fruit, even in tough times. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful, not be anxious, not be worried in the year of drought. Right? Again, tough times. When tough times come, sometimes things are a little thin. Sometimes there is a little drought in our lives. That's tribulation, right? But even when that happens, we're not anxious. We're not worried about it. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It doesn't let him stop. It doesn't let him stop anything. Because at the core of it, we have a root that is in God's word. And that's a strong foundation. So we'll continue to produce fruit. Go to chapter 37, verse 1. So trusting in God equals prosperous roots. Even when you're faced with junky times, you're still prosperous. You're still producing fruit because the basis, the core, is strong. Isaiah 37, 31. That's the verse. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit, what? Upward. Upward. Right? So, in this case, Judah escapes captivity, and once again, they take root in God's word. Right? But you'll notice here that they take root downward first, And then they bear fruit upward. Okay? The root has to be there first. It has to be based on a solid foundation. Right? And that's what God is talking about here. The whole house is tied to the root. So that household, in this case, the house of Jacob. If you go to Romans 15, verse 10, we belong to a household as well. Romans 15, verse 10. It says, and again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. That root of Jesse is Jesus Christ, right? David came from that line, Jesse, and then David, and then ultimately Jesus Christ. And verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we belong to a household, and that's the household of faith, right? We're all part of the one body, the family of God. And the root of that is Jesus Christ. The root of that foundation is our Lord and Savior. It's because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Chapter 11, verse 16. Chapter 11, verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Was the root holy? Yes. Yes, it was. And we are like the branches, right? We're what sprung out of that. Jesus Christ is our brother, right? He is the head of the household. If the root was holy, so are we, because we have Holy Spirit. We are righteous. We're born again. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, if you have the nerve, if you will, to boast, remember that thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay? Thou wilt say that the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou stands by faith, by believing. Be not high-minded, but fear. And so, this was addressed to the Gentiles and refers to the Jews who were broken off because they didn't believe, right? They had the opportunity. Jesus Christ came first to Israel, but, most of them didn't believe. So God likens it to branches being broken off. But that root remained. And we, the Gentiles, were grafted in because of our faith. And then, they're cautioned not to think highly of themselves, but ultimately it's the root that bears us, right? Jesus Christ is that foundation. He bears us. And we get to live off the fat of that, right? What Jesus Christ accomplished for us, we get to live off of. We get to enjoy. We get all the rights, privileges, and abilities because of what he did, right? We get to prosper because of what he did, right? That's where we bear fruit. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. So we were welcomed into this house, And this house is rooted in the root of Jesse, in Jesus Christ. That's a firm, unmoving foundation. That's one that will not be uprooted. Ephesians 3:14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That's our family. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, by believing, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all of it, the fullness of God." All the fullness of God. We were rooted and grounded in love because God loved us, because Jesus Christ loved us enough to give his life for us, right? And that root is one that cannot be uprooted, right? We get to enjoy that love, and we get to enjoy all the fullness of God because of the root that we have. And finally, go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So ultimately, a root can be rotten or it can be righteous, right? It can be an ungodly root or it can be a prosperous, blessed root. And it truly is the foundation for whatever it is that we produce in our lives. If it's a solid one, we'll produce fruit. And if it's a rotten one, it all comes up dust and chaff. But the root that we have, that we get to enjoy, is that of the household of faith. Colossians 2, verse 6. "As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him." Walk like Christ walked. That's what we're implored to do. Verse 7, "rooted and built up in him." Our roots should be in Jesus Christ, right? In that word of God that we believe that got us born again. That's our root. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." Remember, it talked about how the wicked are not made sound or made solid or made firm, right? But we will be established. We will be made solid and firm by our believing, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, right? That we can just abound in the word that we get to know, the rightly divided word that we have the privilege to understand. We can be so thankful to know that word. Verse 8, "beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Right? If you remember back, I think it was in Isaiah that we talked about the deceivers, right? The people, Isaiah 5, the deceivers who would try to pull the righteous away, or righteousness away from the righteous, that they would get them to believe something else. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of God in bodily form." It dwells all the fullness of God in bodily form. "And you," that's me and you, "are complete," which is that fourth verb form, completely, absolutely, completely complete, "in him, which is the head of all principality and power," all ruler and authority, right? Jesus Christ is at the head. He is the root. He is the foundation. And we get to bear the fruit of that. Our root is a righteous one. And we can make our decision day after day after day to stand on God's word and to have it be a solid foundation for our lives so that we can bear fruit, so that we can be prosperous and enjoy things too.